The Fresh Air Fund is one of life's great equalizers. Since 1877, it sent poor inner-city kids from New York to the country to live with host families. But it was actually conceived by the Reverend Willard Parsons in rural Sherman, Pennsylvania. Parsons asked his parishioners to take in poor New York kids. It soon grew so big, he asked for help from a New York City paper. Today, the assistance comes from the New York Times, and it sends kids to 13 states and Canada. It's a huge enterprise, with families welcoming the kids and staff needed to screen the families. Plus, the Fresh Air Fund has expanded to include job and college mentoring, and it has a new leader at the helm. In today's View from the Top, our conversations with leaders. Fatima Shama, Executive Director of the Fresh Air Fund, joins us. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And you say you could have been a Fresh Air kid.
Easily. I was born and raised in the Bronx, and my parents were immigrants to this country. I lived with public housing right up the street. Some of New York City's lowest performing schools were my zoned schools. And to be really honest, summer camp for me was going to our local public school for free breakfast and playing in the street, and then going back to the school for free lunch, and then going to our local public library for the afternoon.
Yeah, and maybe opening a fire hydrant when it got
super hot. I almost said that, but yeah, you said it for me. Exactly.
Well, there you go. But so that brings our first question. Yes, this tremendous organization sends, 4,000 kids in the summer to those 13 states we mentioned in Canada, another 3,000 to the five Fresh Air camps up in Fishkill, New York, and upstate. But how do you decide? Because for every 1,000 kids you send, 3,000 or 4,000 don't go. You know, it's how do you make those decisions?
Yeah. Yeah. So in New York City, there are nearly 2 million kids who would be eligible based on age range, and a third of whom live in poverty. So we estimate about 600,000 kids in New York City live in poverty. And we at the Fresh Air Fund aim to recruit those children. One of the things we try to do are find children who would be eligible for free lunch, as evident, to participate in the program. And we get 11,000 applications annually for what you've just identified as 7,000 seats. And at this point, it is first come, first serve, but we are quite cognizant of the need. One of the things we aim to do are find more families who would be willing to host more children, because that is something we can continue to grow. And it is astounding to me because, as you noted, our history is actually started 140 years ago. We celebrate that this summer. And the Reverend Parsons actually started this, I have to just say. My background is in health and education policy. This was a public health solution. Children in New York City's Lower East Side tenements were living with tuberculosis, and it was spreading because of the fact that kids had no access to cleansing their lungs.
Fresh air. They needed fresh air.
Precisely. And today, the fact is that we don't have tuberculosis, but we have asthma, and we have communities riddled with crime and gun violence, and we have obesity and a lack of open space for kids to actually just play and be kids. So still, the Fresh Air Fund is as relevant as it was 140 years ago, and we need families who would continue to welcome children from our low-income communities into their neighborhoods and communities.
You make so many great points here that this isn't just, oh, wouldn't it be nice for a kid to see a piece of clover, which in fact it would be,
right?
But that it's a health issue. And I just want to note that in the 1800s, the immigrants helped were predominantly Irish and Italian.
That's right.
I'm just curious. The immigrant population keeps changing every 100 years or so.
That's right.
And the Irish and the Italian, we have to constantly remind ourselves, we're as vilified, as immigrants are today. But do you see there, when you keep saying we need host families, is it more difficult to place children of color, which are predominantly the children being considered today?
I have to tell you, I think that I have had the pleasure of visiting families within the many states that host our kids. And I think people come to this who are interested in opening up their hearts and their homes to help children less fortunate than themselves. the truth is that the immigrants of yesterday are not the same as today. And so what once was Irish and German and Italian immigrants today are Chinese and Mexican and children from West Africa and a large population of American-born, African-American children. But I have yet to find so many families that would say to me, well, those weren't the kids we were hoping to help.
Yeah.
Part of it is our making sure we tell that story, that immigration is dynamic and new immigrants today look differently than ones 30, 40, hundreds of years ago. But that is what makes actually the New York story and American story, in my opinion, so rich, is that it is this dynamic experience that in every, as you noted, every decade or two or three changes.
What are your challenges? Because you do have challenges finding the host families. Why?
I think the reality is once upon a time, families had summers that were more relaxed, perhaps. There were more moms who were home. Now we have many homes that two parents are working. Mm-hmm. And so 2-week summer vacations are sort of their reality and their ability to not only have their own downtime as a family, but also invite someone to be a part of that might be more complicated. We do go through a pretty rigorous background check process, an interview process to make sure that a home is a one of the homes that has volunteered to do this is a home where you and I would send our children. And so it's an interview. It's a home visit. It's a background check process. It's reviewing and speaking to 4 different references. So it's fairly rigorous. And some folks may or may not be up for that deep of a challenge. But for those that go through it, and we have 4,000 of whom who do, we're really delighted that they've done that work. And we certainly know that as our applications continue to come into our office, we can easily send more children to homes who would be willing to go through that process.
Well, then there's the fact that camp, or for many of these kids, it was not even camp. It's just to go get somewhere where there's fresh air. Mm. But for thousands, it's the camps up in upstate New York. I urge people, I mean, if you get the New York Times, you read the stories about the fresh air fund and how much the kids are getting out of it. But in camps in general across the country, it's become this competitive business, super expensive camps where kids go to study computers and some camps focused on getting into college. How do you compete with that without losing that original mission of we just want to make sure kids have fun where there's grass?
You know, I have to say, I mean, I don't think we compete with it, largely because I think we're giving opportunity for children who would likely never have the opportunity. And I think that's both what we pride ourselves on, but it's also what makes us uniquely special and special for the families we're trying to both recruit and serve. So what absolutely happens at camp is fun. But it is fun that I will define as layered with enrichment. And so for many of our children, they've never seen lakes before. And the idea of swimming in one is a whole new experience. Swimming, actually, as I've learned from many of our children and our families, is something that is quite unique for our kids. Most of them don't know how to swim. And in their 2 weeks with us, they go through this rigorous process. But the idea that while they're learning how to swim, they're in this water where they're learning that beneath their feet is an actual living ecosystem. And we talk about the pHs of water and the differences between pools and lake and actually what could be more natural. And amid that, they're actually learning or hearing sounds of birds around them. And so someone is teaching them what those birds could be. And so embedded in all of this learning that is true fun are all these new vocabulary words, are all these scientific terms that become real because back in the classroom, they're going to get introduced in some way, shape, or form in the life sciences or in a science class. And what actually is quite real to be, to sort of put on a little bit of an Ed Policy hat is, this is what differentiates so many middle-income children to low-income children. Kids have these experiences that, as you know, parents pay for. In low-income families, our children don't necessarily have these and therefore may differentiate them from being able to have the vocabulary or experiences that they can then write about, right? Someone learning how to swim is a story in their writing class. And it's these experiences that truly are still fun, but really are allowing enrichment to happen in a different way.
So Fatima Shama, again, Executive Director for the Fresh Air Fund, you've talked about needing to recruit kids. You've said that when you were a kid, again, the daughter of a Palestinian and a Brazilian, they met in Brazil, and your parents, who are immigrants, didn't know about the fund. So you're trying to get through to these immigrant communities today. You're trying to find more families at a time when they're, you know, not all families are home over the summer to host kids at their home as opposed to the camps. But also just, you know, money. Obviously, this terrific relationship with the New York Times. But what is your biggest financial challenge?
Well, we have an annual operating budget of nearly $17 million. And to send 7,000 children to experiences, to keep up the infrastructure at our camps, to continue to grow our work and to ensure and minimize risks to all of our children, these are very expensive things. So we raise 75% of our money from individual donors. And we need to always ensure that we're maintaining those relationships and grooming them and growing them. Not different from any nonprofit, but for us, it really is about children and being able to serve them at this intersection of both what is a summer experience, but really a summer experience, as we've talked about, that can start changing a child's life.
Fatima Shama, Executive Director of the Fresh Air Fund, the nonprofit that brings summer experiences to lower-income kids from New York. Fatima, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And just in case you just got interested, we'll link you up at hereandnow.org.